from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is The Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Now, this weekend is what I would call a super weekend if you are a Christian. Because, number one, it is beautiful. Number two, it is the celebration of Easter for most Christians who think that this is when Jesus was crucified and came back to life. So, apparently, now, today is Good Friday. Now, it is weird to call an event in which your Messiah is crucified good, but whatever, we'll let that slide. And it just so happens, I don't know if this is the same around most of the places that listen to us, but goddamn, is it warm outside today, is it not?
It's a beautiful day everywhere in the world, apparently.
Is it? Every day, everywhere in the world?
Well,
someone's having a bad rainstorm, and they're like saying, fuck you, Jake and Ryan, fuck you.
Probably. But yeah, it is quite beautiful right now.
It surprised the hell out of me. I wore a long sleeve shirt just to go to the grocery store, and I worked up a sweat with just my long sleeve shirt, and I didn't even think that this was ever possible again, because winter was brutal for us. Winter was awful.
Yeah, that's because that's the fun thing. I never look at April 1st. I never remember the beginning of April as Jesus time, Jesus died.
Well, it's always
Jesus
on a floating. For me, it's on a floating day. It's not on a specific day.
Well, I mean, this around this period of time.
So the first full moon after the vernal equinox is when you don't consider it spring?
The beginning of April, I say, I consider the beginning of spring. I don't think of Jesus when I think of April. That's all I was trying to say.
It doesn't always happen on April. It could happen also in March. Like I said, the vernal equinox happens March 21st. So any full moon past that date is when Easter's supposed to start. Unless, of course, you're an Orthodox Christian and then you're using the Julian calendar to calculate rather than the Gregorian, the Julian calendar having differently named months and what have you. It's a bit of a mess. It's a bit of a mess. So the whole Eastern and Western Christianity celebrate Easter on different days too. So I don't know how far it goes when you're an Orthodox, but I think it's like wildly different, different calendar.
Does everybody that's just doing it kind of wrong or quote unquote wrong, do they at least admit that they know that it's not the actual dates?
Well, they
understand this is all symbolic, right?
I'm not even particularly sure. I mean, look at it this way. Is it a coincidence that the vernal equinox, the coming of spring, is the holiday that they celebrate the death and rebirth of a savior? I mean, come on. Come on. Can you not see here the imagery? And like, yeah, it must completely be about Jesus. Or maybe it could be about this weird fact that we are completely obsessed with seasons in this world. And we recognize that spring is like a rebirth of life. Because we know how shitty winter is here in the Northern Hemisphere, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we goddamn do. I almost didn't make it this year. I swear to God, this was the toughest winter I'd ever had to fucking face. I mean, yeah, turning 30 was probably part of the reason why it did suck balls and being more broke than we've ever been. So those two factors probably led to a very dreary winter. But now, you know, you walk outside, it is fucking beautiful. You're telling yourself, is it really all over? Is winter over?
It could be.
It could very well be. And this week, we are actually headed to New York City to go visit a friend, help him with his book. So if you are actually in New York during that time, we recommend that you come in contact with us. We're probably going to be around town, so if you guys want to meet up and you're New Yorkers, hey, forget about it, huh? You want to hang out? You want to go for a fucking beer?
Nobody from the Bronx who sounds like that, though. How about that?
What? Oh, are you kidding me? I want to go and have some drinks if somebody speaks like that. It's fucking awesome.
But yeah, we're going to be around doing nothing on, what is it, Sunday and Monday, basically. So if you New Yorkers are doing nothing on Sunday and Monday...
Yeah, well, you're not going to church. We know that, so you got free time. Anyways, you can send us an email. Send it to jacobforte@gmail.com if you're in town, you want to meet up. Anyways, that's one of the things that we got planned going on. So we are on the road, people.
Yeah, we want to drink some beers with some fans.
Yeah, that's what I did last time for when I was in Calgary for my birthday. It was very enjoyable. Do you meet up with people that listen to the show, get their input, and it's kind of nice. You know, we record this, put it out there, and then generally that's the last we really interact with people sometimes. So it's nice to actually interact with people on a one-to-one basis.
Realize that the people listening to us are actually people and not just numbers on a counter that we watch climb.
The numbers seem impressive to us, but they don't have any meaning. I mean, say a show gets listened to 4,000 by 4,000 different people. What the fuck does that mean to you? It doesn't mean anything. It's just a stupid number. It could be 40,000 and it would still be just as meaningless. You're like, I don't know anyone who's actually listening to this. I can't store in my mind that many people. I can't even imagine knowing that many people. And that's how many people listen to the damn show. Mm. So once in a while, it is kind of nice to be reminded that these are not just automatons that press the play button, but people with their own opinions and their own ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we start the show, I would like to remind everybody that it is kind of hilarious that on the eve of the most important day for Catholics, because, you know, I figure this, the Easter weekend is kind of like, it's their Christmas. It's their better Christmas. You know, they get to go around saying like, oh, forget about him being born. This is when he did some real magical shit. So for them, they like to push this hard because the resurrection of Jesus is integral to their faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more integral than even his birth. Easter is the bigger fucking holiday. It's like their propaganda machine runs high on that day. So I think it's kind of funny that as a related story, the Pope's personal vicar, the guy who does his sermons for him, basically said that all of the things that have come up against the church, like that people are the individuals investigating it and all the attention that has been brought upon it, is as worse as the Jews being killed in the Holocaust.
Well, it wasn't so much. It was basically he compared it to anti-Semitism in general, wasn't it?
Well, he made the comparison to draw that sort of like saying, well, this is how it starts, and then you get Holocausted. This is generally the trend here. So they're saying they're vilifying us, and this is no better than what happened to the Jews.
Hmm.
Of course, the Vatican comes out a little while later after he says this, saying, well, this is not the official position of the church, so please disregard this crazy old man's words. But, you know, he still said it. Oh, yeah, just forget what he said. Forget what he thinks. And forget that everybody there didn't say shit and were probably like, totally true. These people prosecuting us, they're evil. Don't they know that we just want the right to conceal our crimes and just peace?
It is a really interesting stance that the church is going on, this whole idea that that people questioning them about this is just a big witch hunt. I'm like, it really isn't. Even people who are going over, well, you know, quote unquote, overboard, screaming, oh, put the Pope in jail. It's like, hey, you know, after the end of an investigation, if it turns out that he deserves in jail, I'll get in line. But I don't know enough about it yet to say that. But even these people have questions that deservedly need to be answered. I mean, there was a lot of child rape going on. It was kind of a problem.
And, well, it's not just the fact that was going on. Like, we could be honest here and say this shit's probably still going on. Maybe not to the same degree that it used to be, but I refuse to believe that it's just suddenly stopped.
I wonder what, like, your average church pederast thinks with all of this stuff going on in the media. How does this affect his rapings?
How does this affect pedophiles?
Yeah, exactly. Like, these pedophile priests that are molesting kids are reading all that. Like, they don't live in a bubble. They are just mindless child raping machines. They follow.
Aren't they though?
they follow the news and they see these things that go on. Do you think that they're doing anything different? Do you think that they're all freaking out because they're worried that more kids are going to come forward?
I don't know.
I'm just trying to.
I have to figure it. It must be on their minds. I mean, back in the old days, you were a priest. You'd tell a kid to shut the fuck up. He would shut the fuck up. There's no, you know, ifs, ands about it. It's kind of like what Sinead O'Connor was saying a little while ago. She said in Ireland, back in the old days, you know, a priest would be walking and everybody would just sort of like, you know, get out of their way. It was like a dawn in New York, like a fucking dawn.
Or one of those powerful badasses in Japan.
Yeah, there you go, exactly. The guy with a scar on his face and the really large sword on his back. Just like one of those guys. where everyone's like, oh, Your Eminence, blah, 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 blah. So they'd just go over and they would basically suck his holy dick, you know, probably for some kind of, can you get me into the pearly gates there, buddy, huh? Is there anything I can do? And plus, you know that if you are a Catholic priest at the time, you have everybody's gossip. I mean, you were collecting information. Say, what do you think confession is? Yeah, you might think that it's just, oh, it's a way for me to get things off my chest. Say you're the town priest and you hear everybody's confession. You know what the fuck is going down.
Yeah, but does confession go that deep into details?
It goes
stuff like
super deep, dude.
What, like, the priest asks names and dates and addresses and time. Like, I know, I hear Scientologists collect all that stuff when they're auditing you.
Okay, well, I'm not saying that they necessarily have a person typing down everything that you're saying. That's not what I mean. I mean, think of it more in a practical sense.
Yeah.
Imagine that you are a priest in a small town in the 17th century and that people are going to confession.
I know, but do you know who adulters with who?
Oh, you probably do know that for sure. For sure. You probably even know other crazier stuff like whose baby really is or whatever. Who knows? I mean, people really do open up, right? I think back then it was also kind of a type of therapy, I suppose. You know, you did something that you felt was crappy, you go over and you confess, but little do you know that now a person has that information and has remembered it. Sure, they could have told you, you got 15 Hail Marys or whatever other bullshit punishment, or maybe buy a couple of indulgences to help the church, but meanwhile, this person's got all the information they need. And you know, I think that, in a sense, I understand now why, you know, they insist that when you become confirmed that you confess your sins, because hell, once people started confessing that and priests realized what kind of power that gave you to have really all that information, why would they want this process to stop? They wouldn't. It's very, very, very lucrative. Information is power, my friend. Information is power. But now we live in the world of information. Their power has dwindled. They don't have as much information. They don't have as much power. It's just their power base is waning.
People are starting to question them.
They are starting to question them pretty fucking loudly. I mean, get this: in Ireland, there used to be a ban on heavy drinking around Good Friday. It has now been lifted. Lifted that ban. Say, so, like, oh no, you've lost Ireland. They finally lifted the last drinking ban they ever had. It's gone, man. It's gone,
man.
Yeah.
You know, when the Irish are doing that, you've lost them.
You definitely lost them. That is not, you're not getting that back. And like I said before, I mean, the effects of all of this are not going to be felt today or even tomorrow. I think they're felt in the next generation of Catholics. You know, how are they supposed to feel about getting on board with this institution that seems to be completely in denial about everything, saying, like, these are vilified attacks? And I'm like, why don't you respond to these charges other than saying that they're ludicrous? Why don't you provide some evidence? You can't just go around saying, well, it's ludicrous, it's not true, and that's the end of the story. I'm sorry, not good enough. Nobody's going to accept that answer. Maybe that used to fly in the 1930s or something. Not so much now.
Well, I'm mainly more interested. I'm really interested in seeing what happens to the church. Like, right now, everything is being covered from the point of view of what the church is saying and what we are uncovering, but you're not hearing a whole lot about what, you know, the people inside the church are thinking or feeling and how it's going to affect their faith long term. I mean, we were just talking about Ireland. They lost Ireland over this. How is everybody else going to react? I mean, for a person who self-identifies as Catholic, this must be a pretty hard fucking time to carry that name, because basically
to carry that torch.
It is basically tied up with baby rape.
You can't even, even the people who defend it the most, Bill Donahue, who goes on, I think it's MSNBC, he goes on TV and basically argues that it's not pedophilia if the boys are prepubescent, if they're older than 12. Now it's just gay sex.
I mean, it's very interesting that he's saying the church's problem is not pedophilia, it's homosexuality. And it's a very twisted fucking thought that they're trying to seed there and spread out.
Well, look at this. And this segues us to the next thing that I want to talk about, is how their damage control is usually scapegoating. I mean, let's be honest here. Any powerful institution, organization, government, or what have you, when they get caught with their pants down, what is the first thing they fucking try to do? Scapegoating. And right now, the Catholic Church is scapegoating two groups. First group is homosexuals, but, you know, they just love to scapegoat those guys. They've been doing it for a long fucking time. Mm. New on their agenda, atheism, which they now describe as idolatry. They're like, well, this is a religious belief. This is an attack and affront on God. And atheists are idolaters. So now what they're trying to do is they're trying to turn the table, saying the real problem is actually the rise of atheism.
The rise of godlessness.
The rise of godlessness is the fucking problem. This is why everything's gone wrong, everybody. This is their explanation. Ta-da! Atheism is the problem. And homosexuality. Yeah.
Wow. Very nice.
I just find it... It's very telling when you can't even identify your own problems and just decide, well, you know, let's scapegoat. The religion has a long history of that. What do you think the word scapegoat comes from?
You know, it's always very interesting to me that they brought up the whole, it's practically anti-Semitic what's happening to us. I'm like, you do realize that you guys fan those flames. You're like, you hate the Jews.
Well, again...
Bad things happening, hate the Jews.
You really have to understand that the religious right has painted the Holocaust and Nazism as an atheistic movement. This is how they've painted it. They're like, this was caused by state-run atheism because they obviously have no understanding of history. And they'll say the same thing about, you know, Stalinism. They're like, well, this is an atheist state, and all the really horrible things that happened was because of atheism.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, wouldn't it be because Stalin was crazy? Wouldn't that be a better explanation? And maybe communism doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's really shitty. Just an idea there. But at the same time, like, just to be able to rewrite history like that, to say Nazism is an atheistic philosophy. So they get to use that as part of this weird pseudo-reality that they've invented, where they're just saying, like, the reason the Jews were killed were atheist monsters. And you just, like, you do realize that in France and Germany is the bedrock of anti-Semitism. And that it was Christians that were fanning those fucking flames, you know? Like, during the Inquisition, they just decided, hey, let's blame the Jews for something. All right, yeah, massive killing of Jews. Periodically, once in a while, when things were really bad, you're just like, we gotta fucking blame somebody. Let's blame the Jews. Now they've just switched their kind of MO. Now they're blaming atheists and homosexuals because, well, you can't blame the Jews anymore.
And they're saying, we feel like the Jews.
It drives me crazy. Speaking, if you want to watch a movie that I think really encompasses the kind of the craziness of this whole priestly abuse, watch the documentary "Deliver Us from Evil." To just get an idea, that this is
this a documentary that's going to be easy to find, or is
yeah,
it like
actually,
most
you can,
documentaries
you can see
where...
it on it's actually on Google Video.
Mm-hmm.
The whole film is on Google Video. You can find it pretty easily. I'll provide a link to it on the site. But it's a documentary about a Catholic priest called Oliver O'Grady who basically molested hundreds of fucking kids, and who's not in jail. By the way, he is not in jail, and he's just talking about
is he in a grave or
no? He's alive,
and he's God damn it! I hate that. That's what drives me the most nuts.
He even
about
admits
all this.
To it. He even admits to it. That's what the whole documentary is, him talking about it. A weird trying to make amends. Like he sends letters to people that he's molested. It's very disturbing, but it's worth watching because it talks about the degree with which the church covered up these crimes. Whisked him from parish to parish to parish. This is basically their MO with any child rapist. You can watch Deliver Us from Evil and you'll see their playbook, the one that they emulated constantly time and time again. So it's a great documentary, and it was filmed in 2006, but I think it's fucking more relevant today than it was then.
Mm-hmm.
Way more relevant. I had a fan who sent it to me, and I thought, you know, this is just fucking, this is perfect. You know, this is exactly what people need to watch. So, you know, I'll probably actually, if it is on Google Video, I'll try to put a link to it because sometimes you can do that on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure to check out this weekend. We'll put a link, unless it gets shut down. Then you might actually have to go and buy it or
Or just go without.
Or go without it.
It's a very, very unfortunate thing that people don't realize. When they take down these videos on the internet and such like that, they're like, they'll go and they'll find it through official channels. It's like, they probably won't. You're just taking their ability to see it away from them. It's just, there needs to be a better way. Come on, internet, spit out some innovation.
Well, it's gonna.
Can't I just watch anything I want for a dollar? That seems fair enough to me.
You wouldn't pay a dollar.
Hmm?
Would you pay a dollar?
If it was convenient, if I didn't have to fucking pull out my credit card and put all this information, if it was
man,
just,
you want a perfect world, don't you? In this perfect world, we would be wealthy too, because you're just like, people can make easy payments. I would love that world too.
You know what I want? You know that they hooked up a rat to like this pleasure thing they stuck in his brain. You press the button, you get some pleasure. I want to be like that rat, and I want a button that I can press, and I get pleasure. Let me press that button and see this fucking documentary. I don't care how it works. If we can figure out some kind of scale. I'll pay a dollar.
What happened? What happened to the rat?
It pressed the button until it died. it stopped doing everything else.
The flaw in sort of like this idea. You do see the flaw in there, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to point that out.
Mm.
Okay, you know what? I think we're going to cut the show a little bit short. We have to pack. We're leaving tomorrow.
We're leaving really soon.
We're fucking leaving very, very soon. So
We left it late.
We always leave everything in the last minute, including doing the radio shows. But I thought yesterday we were working. We were cracked out of our skulls because we every year for FightLinker, our other site, we do a special April Fool's Day thing, and it just completely drained us. We stayed till 9 o'clock in the morning Thursday trying to get her done. So we're playing catch up with that, and we have to pack. We're getting ready to leave, everybody.
So we will catch everybody, I guess. What do you put these things out on Tuesday?
We're gonna try. We're gonna bring the portable one with us. The sound might not be as great, but you guys just have to put up with that. Maybe it'll be in a weird, New York cafe.
And then after that, it'll be all Skype-ish. Skype-ish!
We're going to have a few Skype things. We're going to ask, because Ryan's going to be away in Tennessee for a little while.
But this time,
to come down and do a couple shows.
But this time, I'm making sure that it's not me gone for the entire time. Want to do some of that Skype stuff.
All right, we're gonna try it. And maybe while we do the Skype stuff, maybe we're going to have, we'll try doing a live show, maybe?
Maybe.
I guess it really depends on how much requests. If you guys want a live show, let us know. Send me an email, say like, I want a live show, and we'll try to get her done. We'll try to get her done, because you know what? You guys pay for the podcast. You are technically our bosses.
We are your slaves.
We listen to you. And with that, we'd like to thank you again for your contribution. We hope that we can keep you on for many years. We want to keep doing this for as long as possible, or until we get sick of it, which hopefully won't be for another little while. But until then, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.